Mama Brenda, 2 to 6 years old. I don't know if little Sheridan's 2, but she can go even if she's not. Whatever you want to do with her, though, Crystal, she's not bothering us. If you've got a, see how willing that one is? If you've got a child the age of 7 to 12, they're going to go with Miss Stephanie. Stephanie, Pastor Jeremy is going to go back with you. The children in that age group are getting to do some new curriculum that we're excited about. And I'm going to let them exit the room. We love our kids. And they're loud. And they're proud. But we're not raising backwards children here at Parish Christian Center. We're raising up leaders. We're raising up people that can stand on a stage and not be afraid of their own shadow and speak the word of God. We're raising up kids that'll just say, hey, God used me. Here I am. Amen. And so that's what we're doing. I would encourage you to bring your children to church because that way God says, if you'll do that, I'll have an obligation to them. When they get old, they're not going to depart from that. Look here, every bit of the word of God is true, but you have to do your part. What is your part? Bringing them to God's house, bringing yourself to God's house. Amen. I thank God that God is stirring the hearts of men and women that need to be under the teaching of this place. I thank God that there are people, Misty, that said, hey, we're going to be here today. They're not here. This service is not about the people that aren't here, but it's about the people that are here. But I just speak right now and I say, God, in Jesus' name, for every person, God, that you're trying to add to this body, Lord, I thank you that you add them. God, I thank you that they're drawing, being drawn to this place. And God, I thank you that I just bind up every hindrance that stands in their way of getting here right now in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for it, God, and I call all these things done. Lord, I thank you that the word of God today falls on good ground, Lord, and that it takes root, that it takes seed, that it begins to grow. Lord, and we give you praise, and Lord, we give you honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today I would like to talk to you about serving. The title of this message, sometimes I don't even title messages, but today I have, and this title of this message is called Saved to Serve. You were not saved to just sit on your rear end. No, you were saved for a purpose. You were saved for a destiny. You were saved for a calling. And God, and most importantly, you were saved to serve. See, saved people, they serve people. Saved people serve people. We have to get that in early to baby Christians. We even have to get that soaked through to older Christians because sometimes you can get comfortable in your life and you can begin to just sit back and do nothing. That is not what the gospel is about. You are the church. We have a beautiful church building, but let me tell you something. You are the church. You are the church, not a building. It's you. You are the hands and feet of Jesus. If you won't do it, see, that's why we talked about praising at the very beginning of our worship service. Because, Gina, the Word of God says, if you won't praise me, I will call out to the rocks and I'll tell them to praise me. Why? Because everything that has breath should be praising the living God. See, it's not time to sit there with your hands in your pocket. I know I'm about to go to Medellin. Hey, that's what I do best. It's time to lift up those hands. See, we've been lifting them to everything else. See, some of us lift them to a bottle. We need to put that bottle down. Some of them lift us to drugs and alcohol and substance. It's time to lay that down. Why? Because God has a calling for you, and that calling is to begin to serve. See, if God can get you to where you'll serve him, you're going to find yourself. You spend so much time all wrapped up in yourself. The word, it says, it's not going to return void. God's word does not return void, but it will go out and it will accomplish every single line of it. You got to be willing to serve. You got to be willing to serve. I got saved when I was 7 years old. I've been saved every day since. Why? Because we're all in need of saving all the time. When I woke up that morning, there was something different in my heart. See, don't tell me that children can't hear God. Don't tell me that they can't be used by God. No, they can. And yes, they are. When I woke up that morning, for the first time in my life, I felt sin in my life at 7 years old. See, God will begin to talk to those babies if you'll have the guts enough to bring them. And when you don't cry when they get old and they begin to embarrass you. They begin to disgrace you. Don't cry about it when you're visiting them between a glass. Because, see, somebody will correct them. It's either going to be you or it's going to be the state. What do you want? You got to get with God and you got to say, God, what are we trying to raise here? Look here. I haven't caught that completely because mine run amok. But I bring them. And they run amok in here. Do your best. Do your best. Save to serve. Save to serve. What did I do? You know what, Crystal? I felt that sin at even 7 years old. And I said, God, I need you. God told me, Kelly, you get on your knees and you give your life to me. We had the ugliest brown sofa sectional I think has ever existed. Man, that thing was ugly. I got on my seven-year-old knees, and I began to cry out to God. Don't tell me that children cannot have a relationship with God. They can. They can. That's why you see God calling so many children. That's why you see that. Why does He tell you to bring them? Because He wants to bring Himself into their life. See, He wants you to get them used to hearing the words of God. He wants to get you in a place where, see, you're not embarrassed when they get in their 20s and 30s and 40s. You're proud of them. I got on my knees and I said, God, in Jesus' name, Lord, save me. God, forgive me for every sin. Look here, Andy. It's been a lot of days gone by since I was 7 years old. You know what I still have to do? I still got to get on my knees and I still have to say, God, in Jesus' name, God, I ask that you'd save me. God, I ask that you'd deliver me. God, I ask that you'd help me to lay down every addiction, God, that I'm still clinging on to. God, I ask that you'd help me and give me the strength, God, to give my life over to you. See, everybody has trouble being selfish. Let's get down to the real gospel. How many of you came to have some church? Good. How many of you, let's take a little vote. How many of you can say, there's times where I'm still selfish? Oh my gosh. Everybody's honest today. Praise the Lord. We just got to get to a place where we put off those selfish ways and we realize I was saved. I was created to serve Him, to praise Him. Why? Because He inhabits the praises of His people. What does that mean? It means He takes them in. Just as we take in air, He takes in, He breathes in the praise of His people. When God can get you to praise Him, He'll come right into the situation that looks hopeless and He'll put a hope there where there wasn't. He'll make a way there where there was not a way. He'll put things back together that the devil tried to take. You know how many times over the last year or two I've seen the devil come into families and try to steal, kill, and destroy in those families? Look here. God is looking for men and women that's going to stop that crap, that's going to stand up and say, in Jesus' name, Satan, you foul spirit, you will not have my family. You will not have my marriage. You will not have my children. You will not have my kids' childhood in Jesus' name. See, pretty don't get it. How do I know that? Because I am pretty. Come on. Amen. You got the best looking pastor in Logan County. There's times where I want to slough off. God said, Kelly, ain't nobody wants an ugly pastor. There's times where I'm looking at that little Debbie and I'm going, girl, ain't nobody wants a chunky pastor. Now look here. We got to take a good look at ourselves. What do we got to realize? You were saved for a destiny. When God saved you, that was just the beginning. That was just the beginning. See, We think, oh, God saved me, it's all over. No, it's just starting. It's just starting because God wants to bring you to a place where you realize that this life is not your own, that you were bought with a price, that it was expensive to purchase you. See, you don't even know how you tick. We think we do. We think we know what's going to make us happy. And we get into this stuff. We get into relationships. We fall into sin. We fall into being in a backslidden state. And then we're still not happy with what we did. Why? Because, see, you don't even know what's going to make you happy. That's why God says the heart, it is deceitful. And above all things, who can really know it? Stop saying, oh, I'm just going to follow my heart on this one. No, that's a dumb idea. You need to follow what God told you to do. Because that's going to get you in a state where you're going to be lined up for blessing instead of correction. No correction is pleasant at the time, but God only corrects the people that He loves. He only corrects people that He loves. If God didn't love you, He wouldn't correct you when you go out and pull a shenanigan. He just lets you do it. You were expensive. He don't want to let you do that thing. It's people to step up, time for people to step up to the plate and be who they're supposed to be.
Yes,
you are saved to serve. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 25. And it says, a generous man will prosper. See, isn't that amazing how generous people, they prosper. Why? Because they know that God is going to add to everything that they don't got. Now, we're not talking about money today, but let me tell you something. I also don't dance around the subject of money. I don't dance around the subject of prosperity, healing, deliverance, chain breaking. It says, he who refreshes others, he who refreshes others. Now, we are not in the right place, boys. You should be in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 25. I'm going to need your full attention. See, because the Word of God wants to fall on the hearts of people here. We need the verse up. Proverbs 11, chapter 25. The generous will prosper. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. Life is not only about you. I know this is hard preaching. Y'all repeat after me. Life is not all about me. I was saved to serve. One more time for the sister in the back. Life is not all about me. I was saved to serve. Praise God. I want you to get that deep in you. See, God's got a purpose for you. God's got a purpose for you. There's a reason when you lay your head down at night, you feel empty. There's a reason why you're feeling that. See, God wants to get you in a place where you're serving other people, where you're serving your church, where you're serving your God. He who refreshes will be refreshed. He who refreshes, he who serves. See, sometimes I feel like, God, I've given everything I could give. God, I don't have nothing else. And I get in these weird little funks where I'm like, I'm not going to do nothing for nobody else. Anybody else feel that way? You feel like you give till you can't give no more and you sick of folks? We all get that way. He who refreshes, you're going to be refreshed. See, as you're pouring your life out, God's pouring into you. God's pouring into you. Let's go to Matthew chapter 25. We're going to start at verse 31. Now we're going to talk about some sheep and some goats. There's sheep and then there's goats. My dad's taught me about sheep and goats our whole lives. When you grow up in the ministry, that's what you get. Some people take their kid to baseball practice. Look here. What we got is ministry 101 for the first 18 years of my life. See, When you instill something in a child, when they get old and they try to not step up to the call, God will make sure he gets them right in the right position. He'll make sure that their lives count, that they did what they were called to do. See, there's something to bring in your children. There's something to bring in yourself. You know how many times over the last year I've heard, oh, I'm sorry, Pastor Kelly, I just don't feel like coming to church. I'm going to tell you that you're in error. You're in error. I'm not going to back down from it. I'll look every last single one of you that's told me that over the past year. You are in error. Now, I know this is hard preaching. It is. But see, I've also preached to you, God wants to bless you. God wants to increase you. God wants to take away that depression. See, you can't pick and choose what God wants to speak out to his people. In the last days, you know what people want? Oh, prophesy to me smooth words. Tell me something that my ears want to hear. Don't tell me where I'm messing up, Pastor. Tell me what I'm doing right. Well, you got to be doing something right for me to tell you about it. Let's get down to true gospel. Saved to serve. Saved to serve. Your life is not your own. When you try to own it and you try to take it for yourself, he who tries to save their own life, they're going to lose it. They're going to lose it. See, when you get in that state, I'm not going to do nothing for nobody else because all they do is to take, take, take. Let me give you a nugget, because I get like that too, worse than probably anybody. Be led by God. You go where he tells you to go. You serve in the areas where he told you to serve. You do the things that he led you to do, because when you do those things, God's going to bless you, but he's also not going to let you get all worn out. The problem is when we go and we do everything that God did not tell us to do. See, the world is full of people and they're saying, but I did a good thing. And God's saying, yeah, you did, but I didn't tell you to do that good thing. You just wore yourself out all on your own. Do what God told you to do. Do it how he told you to do it. Do it when he told you to do it. Moses said, when do you want this problem to go away? Pharaoh was an arrogant jerk. He said, tomorrow. Tomorrow. What was that speaking? Pride. Pride always comes before a fall. Tomorrow was the wrong answer. He ended up losing a kid. It doesn't pay to not do what he said. It doesn't pay to not do it when he said to do it. You don't think Pharaoh knew that that day was the day to say, today, right now, right in this moment, I'm going to let those people go. He was trying to prove a point. Look here, no other point is going to ever have as much weight as the point of God. Glory. And so it says here, let's talk about the sheep and the goats. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, how many of you know that God is going to come back? He's coming back. He's coming back. Everybody that's gone, thinks God's gone on a vacation and left them in charge, they wrong. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another. See, there's going to be a separation going on. There's going to be I used to date a guy, and he used to have chicken houses. I knew I didn't want to marry him. No. Them things stink, they're hot, and they're long as heck. I mean, them chicken houses, they seem to go on forever. And they had six of them. What we used to do when I went over their house for a visit to my boyfriend is we would go in the chicken houses and we would call out the chickens. There was one chicken, and its head, I promise you, Diana, you would have laughed. This chicken, he was walking frontwards, and his head was backwards, and that's how he was born. We culled that one. What does that mean? We got him out. He wasn't normal. We set him over to the side. When the dead ones, when they were laying on the ground, see, chickens, what they'll do is they'll eat their own, and then they get some crazy chicken disease. Chickens. They'll get on there and they'll start eating their brother. You got to cull them things out. Take them dead chickens. We used to have a bucket. I dumped that dude. Thought I ain't made out for this chicken stuff. I don't care if there is money in it. I ain't doing that. That was the first guy I dumped that I was engaged to. I had a couple more. That's a different message. There's going to be a separation. See, there's going to be a separation, and it says here, all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. This is talking about people. Don't get it confused. This is a metaphor. We're talking about Christians and non-believers. There's going to be a separation. And then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance. See, there's going to be a time where you stand before God and he says, well done, my good and faithful servant. Not the one that just said, oh, it's all about me. I don't feel like it today. Oh, no, no. We're going to talk about the one that said, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. God, send me. God, I'll do it. God, I'm going to lay that thing down. I like it, and I like doing it, and it feels good. But God, it ain't bringing you glory. God's talking about the one that did the right thing. There's a separation going to take place. And he says, I'm going to tell those people, come over here. Take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. See, the word of God says, I'm going to prepare you a place. If it were not so, I would have told you so, but it is so. What is he doing right now? He is preparing. He is preparing. What are we supposed to be doing? Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Prepare. What do we do in preparation? We live our lives exactly how he tells us to. And it says, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world, for I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. And then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? And the king will reply. How many of you know that what you're serving is the King of Kings? Amen. You're serving the Lord of Lords. When you're serving the king, you better realize you're serving a king. You're serving the king. Mediocrity ain't going to fly. Halfway doing things ain't going to fly. That's why he says, whatever you do, do it wholeheartedly, with your whole heart. There are times where I'm dog tired, where Pastor Jeremy, dog tired. I'll try to go to bed. Can't go to bed. Okay, Lord, what's up? You're not done pouring yourself out today, Kelly. You call this person. You go to this place. You make sure they're all right. Look here. What do I do? Okay, God. Okay, God. You know how many times I've wanted to run? A lot. It's a normal knee-jerk reaction that when things get hard, what you want to do is throw in the towel and give up. God ain't called you to start something he don't intend to help you finish. That's why the Word of God says he is the author and he is the finisher of our faith. See, he began the faith. He'll finish it. He'll finish it. And it says, then the righteous will answer him. Okay, we already said that. The king will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these. See, God's looking for people to stop looking at other people and think that they're better. God is looking for men and women and believers, people that love God enough to say, God, I don't care what they look like. God, I don't care what they smell like. God, I don't care what their reputation says about them. God, if you bring them here, if you let us cross paths, God, I'm going to love on them. God, I'm going to love on them. God said in January, Kelly asked me for Logan County. Asked me for Logan County. Well, Logan County's full of some wonderful folks. I met some of them at the food giveaway on Thursday where they were chewing my butt out. We got up in there in the heat. Thank you for everybody that came and helped. We were giving that food out. It was great when you were giving them something. The moment we ran out, that turned. Okay? I ain't never said sorry so much in my life. I'm sorry. Look here. There's going to be a separation. There's going to be a separation. There's going to be a distinction. And God says, you did that for me when you did it for that person that everybody else looked over. See, you were saved to serve. God knew which pastor to tell to ask for Logan County. You know why? Because I've been in the ministry my whole life. I've seen it all. Exactly why I didn't want to be in the ministry. God will take somebody that's been raised up in the palace. See, Moses was raised in the palace of Pharaoh. Did he stay in the palace? No. What did he do? His destiny. He was supposed to lead those people out. Did he get frustrated a couple times? Moses had a very bad temper. We'll put it to you that way. He did. It cost him. It cost him some things. But he did do what God told him to do. Okay? And so, do these things for the least of these. Many years ago, Mary Baker, before she was married to Brother Larry, she did foster care. Some of her first foster care children had been beaten so badly, they were about 2 and 3 years old. There were two little girls. And they had a condition where they didn't have the right amount of toes and they didn't have the right amount of fingers. Their feet were like club feet and they were missing almost all of their fingers. And the ones they weren't missing, their skin was over their fingers. 2 or 3 fingers was in one pouch of skin. And they were beaten. Their arms were broken. Their legs were broken. When Mary got them, they were in casts. You ever seen a 2-year-old in a cast? It's really not a pretty thing. They were full of head lice. And every other thing. True or not, Mary? When you saw these babies, you were filled with compassion, but you were also filled with something that says, I would love to see the person that did this to them babies. Because something about that is going to get me going gangster style. I don't like that. Now, who in here wants to have head lice? Not me. Well, God was beginning to teach me about loving people, unconditionally loving people, don't matter what they look like, don't matter what they smell like, don't matter if they got bed bugs, don't matter if they got head lice, don't matter what they got. I wanted to hug these babies. I wanted to love on them. But there was a part of me that when I seen them bugs bouncing around, I thought, God, I don't want none of that. I'm going to buy these babies something and give it to Mary. God goes, no. I want you to take that baby and like a mother would do her own flesh and blood babies, I want you to love them babies. See, somebody wasn't loving them. Somebody was taking their hand to them and beating them so bad that it broke their little bones. I said, God, them babies got head lice. I love them babies, but God, I want that head lice over there. No head lice. God said, Kelly, you either going to be the hands and feet of me and love them, or I'll find somebody else. I took them babies up, loved on them babies. This whole church loved on them babies. Look here. Stop giving God silly excuses for you not doing what he's told you to do. You are saved to serve. Saved to serve. And it says here, and then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison and you did not look after me. They also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick in prison? And we didn't help you, God. And he will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. And then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. He said, now I've come that you'd have life and that you'd have it in abundance. A part of the abundant living is wrapped up in serving. How many of y'all ever eaten one of Miss Mary's peppers? Now that pepper's good and that cream cheese is good, but what makes that pepper good, Matt, is the fact that it's wrapped up in bacon.
Yes, Lord.
You know you're truly saved when you like bacon. Okay? Now, living for God is great. Going to church is great. It's all a part of it. But let me tell you something. The abundant living is wrapped up in serving. That's why I took you to the first place where it says, a generous person will always prosper. A generous person will always prosper. See, I want you to get into realizing deep down in here in that place where you want to be a rebel. No, I'm not going to do that today, God. No, God, I'm not going to do that with my life. No, God, I'm only going to do good if Sally Sue's doing good because I love her. And if she wants to do good, I'll do good. But if she don't, I'm just going to do how I want to do. No, it's time for people to make the right decision based on the fact that you love God, not based on nobody else. Not based on nobody else. God's taking people out of a pit, and people are trying to get back in the same pit. God can't bless it. He didn't bless it on day one, and he ain't going to bless it on day 21. He ain't going to bless it on year 21, year 27. See, there's things that God was never up into. He will never bless them. You got to know when to hold them, when to fold them, when to walk away from them. Some people need to run. Some people need to know when to eat their pride and do what they were supposed to do at the beginning.
Yes,
see, God tell you to do something? No. Nah. No. Nah. I don't want to do that. We'll go around Mount Sinai. We'll come back to that same spot. God will say, are you ready to do that now? Yes, God. I am brokenhearted, God. Look at me. Yes, I'm ready. Give me another chance, God. I want to make this right. You don't have to go around the block four times. You can get it right on the first time. If you'll listen, you'll just do what he told you to do. You don't got to keep going around, going around, going around. Next place for me, Mark chapter 10 and 45. You know, there were times where Jesus just had to line the disciples out. They got competitive. They got this. They got that. God, who's better, me or him? God, why did we lay hands on people and they didn't get healed like when you did it? Lord, what's going on? Same stuff that goes on today. And in Mark chapter 10 and verse 45, it says, for even, y'all say even. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served. See, even Jesus, he didn't come to be served. Now, he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, but he didn't even come to be served. Some people, all they do is come to be served. Every time you talk to him, I have people in my life. This drives me nuts. I'm already nuts and I don't need any help. I always tell Jeremy, I'm about to go off the deep end. Jeremy goes, you got your tent pitched right there on the edge anyways, Kelly. Don't help you that you live on the edge. It's a short walk, that's what he tells me. He's right. Marry who God tells you to marry because they'll get to where they know you real good. That man knows me. He probably knows me better than I know myself. Hi, baby girl. She's not bothering us, Crystal. And it says, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but he came to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. See, if Jesus didn't come here to make a big fuss about himself, we shouldn't either. See, if he came to serve, that is the foundation of what we're supposed to be doing. Serving. Serving. When you don't want to serve, say, God, give me a servant's heart. Way before we did that food giveaway, I began to talk to God. God put something in there. I didn't know where it came from. I ain't never wanted to stand outside and give out groceries in my life. Surely didn't want to stand out there and get griped out for 2 hours straight in the heat with these fake eyelashes that don't take good to heat. Okay? And it says, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but he came to serve and to give his life as a ransom. Some people are always looking to get something. I have this one chick. She don't even go to church here. She will text me about once a week trying to get me to go buy her all this stuff, for the church to go buy her all this stuff, for me to hand deliver her groceries, for me to hand deliver this stuff. And I did that a few times. And you know what God began to tell me? He said, Kelly, I did not call you to do that. Stop wearing yourself out with that. I'm not calling you to do that. What happens if you go over there and see you're not in my will when you're going over there and somebody runs out in front of you and you bust up the car you're trying to pay off? See? There's a difference. Is being nice to folks great? Yes, it is. Do it when he tells you. Serving, the best thing you could do, do it how he tells you to do it, when he tells you to do it, in the place that he tells you to do it. You are saved to serve. Don't wear yourself out serving things that he never told you to do. You'll wear yourself out. And then when it comes around to the things that you were really supposed to do, you won't have enough gumption or heart or whatever it takes to get those things done, because the devil would love to get you off on the wrong track doing good things, and it's all things that's great, but he didn't tell you to do it. He gets you good and worn out so you don't get to do the things that you were supposed to do. So Jesus, it says that he came to serve. He came to give his life as a ransom. Okay? Luke chapter 6 and verse 38. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Now this verse is used many times, and it's talking about money. I'm using it today, and I'm not talking about money. Now if I get off on money, we'll talk about money. But here we go. Luke chapter 6 and verse 38, it says, now give, and you will receive. Let's read it out of my translation. Give and it will be given to you. See, give and it will be given to you. Serve, and when you get it to a point where you need to be served by something, you're going to get some serving done for you. Give and it's going to be given to you. Give and it's going to be given to you. Be somebody that's not just always taking. It's more blessed to give than it is to receive. Be that person that always gives more than you take. Give and it will be given to you. A good measure. See, God's not going to just give you a little bit. We serve a God of abundance. He said, I'm going to give you what you need and I'm going to give it to you a good measure. Do you need a healing? Here you go. I'm going to give it to you in a good measure. Do you need some provision? Here you go. Here's a good helping of that. Do you need somebody in your family saved? Here you go. I'm going to send the right person to go and harvest that soul because I know you're concerned about your family. See, we have to learn to be a giver, to be a server. Have that servant's heart. Have it. Have that servant's heart. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. For with the same measure that you use, the same measure. See, what happens, Brenda Nicole, is this right here. We'll get people. Let me tell you something. 1 plus 1, Dale, it's going to always be 2. It always will be. Now, when they start mixing all those letters with them numbers and they get into that algebra stuff, but 1 plus 1, Keisha, always going to be 2. What happens is, Angel, you'll get people, they're robbing God. How are they robbing him? With their whole life. They've made a career out of robbing God. There's more ways to rob God than just your tithe. If you're robbing God with your tithe, that's a stupid thing to do. I'm not going to dance around that subject here. I will not. If you're robbing God of your tithe, that's wrong. If you're robbing God with your talents, that's also wrong. If you're robbing him with your life, that's also wrong. If you're robbing him and you keep picking duds out of the same bucket that you keep getting the duds out, that's also wrong. It's getting real quiet in here. Why? Because it's getting real real. See, I didn't come to get brownie points today. I came to save souls. How do you save souls? You give them the unadulterated truth. Why? Because there's going to be a day when every single last one of us stands before God, Gina, and he's either going to say, get the heck out of here, I never knew you, or he's going to say, kid, I'm so proud of you. Thank you for giving me your life. Thank you for giving me your soul. And he's going to say, come here. Look what I prepared for you. See? You're going to get two things. You're going to either get a, you're going to the lake of fire, or you're going to go to heaven and look what I've prepared for you. You don't need one more pastor in this town that's going to be worried about all these empty seats instead of getting you into heaven. Look here, these empty seats, I'm not concerned about these. God will fill every last one of them if I'll open up this pretty little mouth and just tell it like it is. God doesn't need people that's going to sit here and act like everybody's okay. I'm not okay, and you're not okay. Let's keep that real. Let's just keep it real. Stop robbing God. Stop robbing God with your life. That's not what you were made to do. If you're sleeping right now, you've earned it. Because I've done worked up a sweat. I'm a sweaty girl. Yep. I done got my workout. Amen. Look here. Don't be robbing God with your life. God wants your life. Why? Donnie, because he's the only person that can ever do anything with it. the only person that can ever do something with your life. The devil's so messed up about what you could be. He's doing everything he can do. You know how many services I've seen? Let's just take a poll. How many services, how many people you've been in a service where I said, God, in Jesus' name, I'm asking you to bring the core family back? Look here. When God brings you to a place and he says, you're going to grow here, you know what I'm praying? Lord, make Brother Donnie want to come back. Lord, for everybody that they're playing hooky, God, allow situations, create situations, make them want to come back. Why? Because see, the devil wants to get people to go into hell. The devil wants to get people off. Oh, God will understand I missed the service. Yeah, God's going to understand that you didn't put him first. That's what he's going to understand. Oh, I can teach kids, but I don't like to teach kids. God's going to understand that pretty good. See, if you got a talent and God told you to use it, see, if you've got the gift where you can just love on people and you just choose not to, look here. God's going to understand a lot of things. We always think God will understand. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. He'll get it real good. He'll understand it real good. And what we're going to have to understand is when we get to the great white throne seat of judgment, we're going to have to understand some things too. Because we're going to give an account for every single thing that we did. Everything that we didn't do, everything that we said, everything that we didn't say, all the things that we never used for the Lord. See, there's people, and we've used these things in the world, but we will never use them for God. Why is that? Why is that? Brenda, will you help her and take that baby? I think all that baby wants to do is play, and Crystal came here to hear this. Don't worry, Crystal. My kids have been hanging from the ceiling fans before. Look here. You should have seen what I used to do. One time I told Brother Charlie, shut up. Brother Charlie was sitting right where you're sitting. I was sitting right where Donnie's sitting. He turned around. He used to have fireballs in his front pocket. Till Dad said, Charles, the kids are throwing that candy everywhere and they're taking their trash. And Brother Charlie said, okay, Pastor, I won't bring any more fireballs for the kids. He hated that. He turned around. He said, if you don't be quiet, I'm going to tell your dad. And I was, this is terrible. I was just full of it. God can get me saved and get me serving him. God can do anything. And I said, Brother Charles, shut up. He said, I'm telling your dad. I thought he loves me too much to tell on me. The worst whipping I ever got was back there in that office for telling Brother Charles to shut up. Me and him, we thick as thieves. Somebody messing with Charles, they're going to mess with Kelly. Somebody messes with Kelly, they're going to be messing with Charles. There's been so many times, Brother Charles, where you have blessed my family so much. There were times where, you know what, we thought, at the end of the day, we know you're with us. There is nothing. Money can't buy that. See? The life that you're living, it matters. We look for validation in every which way we can get it. God wants people to stop looking to be validated. You're feeling inadequate, you know what? That's the devil. God's saying, I validate you. You're important. Do what you were called to do. Do it how I told you to do it. You're going to be a blessing to many people. Your life matters. It counts. Make it matter. That's why, all the way up to the church, you matter. God's got this. You can do it. Why? Because everything about people, the devil's constantly trying to tell them, no, you can't do that. No. No, God doesn't got this situation. No. No. I want people to be driving down the road, Misty Rose. Be driving down Maple Street And God began to speak to him through that sign. You matter. Now act like it. God's got this, so give it to him. Get back up. Don't stay in that slouch. Get back up. Come on. So in Luke chapter 6 and 38, give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. With the measure you use it, it will be measured to you. How do you want it to be used? The same measure that you use it. The same measure. Several weeks ago, months ago, I said, God, there's something in this heart, and I want to be a bigger giver than I've ever been. I'm not talking about money, people. I'm talking about things that actually matter. God, help Parish Christian Center to be givers. Help us, God, to get into this community and make a difference. Do we have the means to get a semi-truck of food and give it to people that's going to grab you out when you run out? No. Does God? Yes. What did it start with? A desire to serve. Why did God do that for us? Well, there's probably not a lot of people that just said, God, make it to where I can go sit out in the sun for 2 or 3 hours and give to people. That was a blessing. When I saw Crystal bring her little boy, get him to serving, Crystal, that ministered to me all day long. Because there's so many times where I feel like, God, I'm not a good enough mom. God, I don't know what to do with Carson and Colton. They're driving me insane. Lord, I can't take them right now. And they're hanging off of everything, and they're breaking everything in my house, God. And here's Crystal. She brings Grayson. And here he's putting potatoes in everybody's car. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. Saved to serve. Saved to serve. He did not take you out of where you've been for you to sit there and wallow in filth. No, he took you out for you to make a difference. Get to making one. He took you out to make you somebody that can give away hope all the time. Saved to serve. Saved to serve. You weren't just saved to do nothing. No, you were saved for a purpose. Get to working your talent. Get to working in the things. There's people that you see yourself doing things, but when it gets down to the opportunity to do them, you kind of shrink back. Well, there's no other opportunity other than the one that you've got right there in the moment. You know what you do to the devil, the one that's talking you out of doing the thing that you've seen yourself doing? You get up there and you do it. See, you know what God knew? He knew for me to ever be able to do this, for Jeremy to ever be able to do this. Kelly's probably going to need to be raised up in the ministry because she ain't the type of person. See, I'm one of them hard-headed people. If I ain't got it in me since day one, I'm probably not going to do that. I'm a very hard-headed person. Brother Jeremy, sweetest man you'll ever meet. There's things about Jeremy, he makes things work in this church we don't even realize. Saved to serve. Saved to serve. It starts with having a vision. God, make me a giver. God, make me somebody that wants to serve. God, how do you want me to serve? Before this whole corona thing, I began to see myself preaching outside, and I thought, why am I seeing myself preach outside? I'm never going to do that. I began to see myself preparing meals inside of my house, Deborah, and folding them up and getting them ready for people. And I thought, why am I doing that, Lord? And I just kind of brushed it off. Tell you what other things I saw myself doing. I began to have a desire to be on the radio And I thought, I'm a cheap person. I'm not going to pay to preach. I can preach for free. Pastor's cheap. Well, I've been on the radio 3 times for free. They called me. They said, we heard one of your messages on Facebook Live. We want you to get on the radio. They just called me back for number 4 and number 5. We want you to preach on salvation. It starts with letting God put that up inside of you. I said, Kelly, I didn't say you had to pay for it. Chill out. I know you're cheap. Look here. I don't buy nothing for this church unless it's on sale. Why? Because look here. They're going to give that to me on sale. I bought that table back there. What did I know? It was the chair in the women's bathroom. I thought, us women, we need a pretty chair. I brought that thing up to the Kirkland's counter, and I said, y'all need to give me some money off of this chair. I want a discount. For what? Do you see that speck of dirt on the back of that chair? That's for what? Well, that chair was $25. It was a $100 chair. It all counts. It all counts. See, you got to have somebody with some pizzazz and some long eyelashes to be, I need a discount. I got on the phone with some dude named Andrew at displayit.com for these displays. I said, I need a big discount. He said, for what? Because I'm spending money with you. That's for what? I gave the invoice to Pastor Jeremy. He goes, he starts laughing. Because the receipt said discount just because. He said, woman, you got a just because discount? What did you expect? We're going to get that discount. How did that start? By the time I was 7 years old, I was saved. By the time I was 7 years old, I was making money. I've worked my entire life. I was the only kid in my family bought their stuff for their self. I bought my first vehicle when I was 15 years old. Wrote a check and paid tithes on it. Wrote it all. Look here. See, we need to stop raising these kids to be morons. I took Carson Paul to Walmart. And he wanted to spend some money. And I said, okay, you made some money. You're not spending mine. He wanted something for $10. I said, you can't afford that. And he said, I have $10. I said, you do. There's something called taxes. See, we're saved to serve. We're saved to make a difference. You know how you start making a difference? In your own family. Get it in your family. Bring it outside of the family. You can make a difference just by telling somebody God loves you. Just by encouraging somebody. Last place for me. John chapter 15. I preached on this the other day on my devotional. If you thought that any part of this message was bragging, you've misinterpreted the whole thing. Yes, isn't that right, Matt?
Yes, it is.
Thank you. I'm already liking him. This is the first time at Parish Christian Center hearing me. I'm loving you. Let me shake your hand. God bless you. John chapter 15, verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. Remain in it. Remain in it. Don't let people get you out of the love of God. Don't let them do that to you. Don't make a butt of yourself. Don't let people drag that flesh out of you. You keep a hold of yourself. Serve people. Love on people. The devil's days are short. They're numbered. When I saw your sister through the car line, you know why that day was good? Because there was people that I saw that I ain't seen in a long time. And look here, I'm not some backwards girl. I flung that car open, and I grabbed her hand, and I said, in the name of Jesus, I bind every curse that's on your life. I bind it right now in Jesus' name, and I want to see you in church. Look here, Keisha, she ain't in church right now. Guess what happened that day? There was a seed planted. Now, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. God will give the growth. When we worry about our family, when we worry about all these things, God's saying, if you'll just do what I told you to do, I'll add the growth. I'll add. Where you come up short, I'll add it. Don't worry about coming up short. Look here. There's times where Carson gets up there and he's done counted all his pennies, Misty. And he's out. And he just looks up at me. There's times, Diana, where I'm all out. I'm out. And I just look at God and I say, God, if you want me to give it, you put it in here for me to give. God, I'm out. What does he do? He just pours it into me. Pours it into me. Why? Because he knows at the end of the day, angel, I'm going to do what he's told me to do. You know why? Because there's a thing called hell on earth, and I've been there, and I don't want to go back. You ever get to where you done something, you tick God off, and he's going to correct you because he loves you? It's very unpleasant. I don't want none of that. I've been there. I don't want that. I just want to do what he says. So Matthew chapter 15, verse 9. Remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love. Just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love, I have told you this, so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. See, you keep coming up short in your joy. You keep being unhappy. Look here, if you'll put yourself where you're serving, if you'll put yourself where you're just loving people instead of judging them, guess what? Your joy at that moment is going to be complete. Because greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life. See, what does God want from you today? See, we've been saved, okay? I'm not sure if there's anybody not saved here. Guess what? There's another step. You lay down your life. I took you to the verse where it says, now Jesus came. He didn't come to be served, but he came to serve. And he gave his life as a ransom for every wicked thing that we would ever do. He gave it, angel. He laid it down. When he was talking, they were trying to negotiate what they were going to do to him. Were they going to crucify him or whatever? You know what he said? I love Jesus, because he just said it just like a gangster. He goes, nobody takes my life. I lay it down. I just lay it down. The most powerful thing that you can ever do is realize that with God, you got it. He's going to bless your life. He's going to make you do things that on your natural realm you could never do. The most powerful thing besides your salvation that you can ever do is lay down your life. Lay it down. Take your hands off of it. Lay it down. When you lay it down, God picks it up and he makes something out of it. Awesome. How do you end a message like this today? Just like this. There's people in here. You've saw yourself doing things. You haven't been able to break through and do those things. The vision's there. You're having trouble. See, it wouldn't be there if God didn't put it there. There's other people where you say, God, I don't know what to do with this life. God wants to give you some direction, because I promise you, what he wants you to do is find a way to serve, and he wants to direct you into the right avenue to do it. There's people, they've done had this serving thing down for a long time. God says, you've served me. You've done everything I've asked you to do. I'm going to take it to a new level. There's some people, they're just naturally born servants. They just love to serve. If you've got a place in your life where you've seen yourself doing some things, but you can't quite break it through and get to that point, I'm going to ask you to stand. If you're to a place where you say, you know, I don't have a problem serving, but God, I feel like there's more, and God, I'm wanting you to pull it out. See, there's more. There's more. I walked in here the other day, and God said, Kelly, I want you to go to your daddy's guitar, and I want you to lay your hands on it, and I want you to make a demand for a greater anointing on his life. What did I do? I went over here, I laid my hands on this guitar, and I said, in Jesus' name, I declare right now that a greater anointing is coming. Look here, you need to get yourself, you need to lay hands on yourself and say, in the name of Jesus, a greater anointing is coming. It's coming. And I receive it. God, give me an opportunity and pull it out of me. God, I give you this. God, I was saved to serve you. I was saved to praise you. Y'all lift your hands, God, in Jesus' name. God, all over the place this morning, you've got people that they say, God, make me a servant. God, help me to serve you better. God, help me to serve when you tell me to serve. God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you that your divine wisdom is washing over them right now. God, I thank you that you're walking through every aisle right now, God, and you're pouring out direction right now in Jesus' name. God, I thank you, Lord, that for every seat, God, that's not filled in this place, God, as I lay my hands on it right now, God, the people, God, I ask that you draw them in right now in Jesus' name. God, I thank you for musicians that's coming. God, I thank you for the musicians that you've already got in this place. God, the talent. God, the teachers. God, the preachers. Lord, we give it to you this morning, God, and we ask that you take it and you bless it and you make something out of us today, God. And we love you, and we give you praise. Pastor Jeremy's got an awesome message for you. I hope that you'll come and support your pastor. Y'all, we are dismissed. Thank you.